friend Roland Levy.
What does he say?
Damn if he don't indict you.
Part, I can't hear you.
I said Roland Evans really indict you.
What does he say about
hand me that paper over there, Bert. Well, let's see what he says. He says that that you're not running foreign policy very effectively here.
I'm not?
Yeah, he says the fool by Turow. Let me see now. Oh, wait a minute. Hell, that's not Turow. What, Roland Evans? What the hell? Well, where was it? I guess we'll have to settle that one later. Maybe it wasn't Roland Evans. Maybe I've done him a... No, it's Joe Kraft. That's what it is. Isn't Joe Kraft a friend of yours?
Yes, old friend. I like his wife better than I like him.
Well, you better get in touch with his wife. It is fit that Arthur Goldberg should be entering his first United Nations with Kashmir up for grabs. Come what may, between India and Pakistan, that issue already nearly 2 decades old is not so going to be settled. It thus serves a corrective to the wildly exaggerated hopes what Goldberg could accomplish at UN. The intrinsic difficulty of such issues, Kashmir, is the one of constraints upon his action. Another limitation on the office of the United Nations Ambassador arises in the way of foreign policy gets made. It is shaped by the interplay of various interests and outlooks in military and diplomatic and congressional, economic and political. These grind and throw up alternatives and choices are made by the White House for the President. But the Ambassador to the United Nations, whatever marks of cabinet status may be conferred upon him, is not a full-time member of the policy-making groups on the periphery of the central drama. Moreover, he represents a constituency of diminishing power. Rhetoric apart, the United Nations is for the United States chiefly the forum where this country engages the nations of the undeveloped world. During the last decade, these countries were just coming on the diplomatic stage. There was still a riddle to be read on such issues as decolonization, so as they showed cohesion and they seemed to hold the balance. But there's no longer anything very mysterious about the outlook of the undeveloped countries. Insofar as they're non-aligned not between this country and Russia, between Soviet Union and China. There's no special trick accordingly to deal with the underdeveloped world, and no special kudos goes to the man who does it, the United Nations. Signs of these constraints on the UN ambassador are already apparent. I want you to read this so you can write him a nice letter in the morning. Or write his wife one. Far from being hand-picked, some of his associates seem to have been thrust upon him. Former Congressman James Roosevelt, for instance, seems to be in the delegation at the price exacted by a political rival, Mayor Yorty of Los Angeles, in return for accepting federal mediation between the rebellious Negro community and the Los Angeles authorities.
Isn't that a wonderful analysis?
Now, here's number two. That's, you got the Roosevelt deal.
That's why I got killing.
He was thrust upon you because of Yorty.
That's interesting.
Now, number two, the way that Ambassador Goldberg announced American capitulation in the Article 19 struggle was not in his own style either. The gracious way, the way natural to the ambassador, would have been to say, as the President said earlier, the United States is not going to let the United Nations collapse on the issue of money. Instead, Goldberg gave way grudgingly. After calling the bypassing of Article 19 a defeat, he reserved the United States the right to withhold American contribution at some future date. That's number two. Congress was said to be the reason for reserving the right to a pound of flesh, but who had stirred up the Congress in the first place and encouraged a resolution supporting the principle? Answer is Dean Rusk. And bowing on Article 19 in the ungraceful way that he did, Goldberg was not so much appeasing the Congress as saving face for the Secretary. The sad fact in sum is that when it comes to the formulation of American policy, Goldberg's subordinate position, his energy and his analytical penetration, his vast experience, his passion for reasonable accommodations, may give him more weight than the American ambassador to the United Nations would normally be able to cast. Still, the best that can be expected of him is that he'll be able to exert a specific influence against those at the center of affairs in Washington who have long-standing commitments to to the policy of trying to settle matters by the use of force. Now, that's it. That's final.
Well, I guess.
You've got it now.
I
just want you to know exactly how it happened.
How it happened. He's got the real dough.
Now, Yardy, it looks already had his first victory. He looks like he's had his first victory over you.
Well, now, Dinah, you see, that's the thing. I guess I better just run for governorship of New York.
Attaboy.
Looks like to me you're running pretty good. I've been watching you every night on television.
Well, I can get anything I want.
Hell, your Nielsen's going up, I'll tell you that. You're getting to be a star.
I told the UN associates today that I've got the best manager that a man could have. This was Bob Benjamin's group.
Yeah.
I said, my God, the president got a hold of me, raised hell with me today. They all looked up, you know. They wondered what I was going to talk about. They thought I was going to say the president is telling me what to do, you know. I said, he told me to keep my eyes lifted up when the cameras are on. He didn't seem to be surprised. President, I got to go back to D.C.
Goodbye now. And you and Clark, I'll hold this up for you about 2 days, and then you tell me, and you might want to kind of tell them that we got problems down here, and you're going to have to come down here and settle some of them.
I will.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good night, Art.
Bye.
All right.